The Art of Discernment, Season 3, Episode 7, Wisdom for Navigating K-12 Education.
Hello and welcome to The Art of Discernment. I'm Dr. Bob Dixon, Chair of the Communication Department here at the Masters University. My guest today is Dr. Jordan Morton. Joining us again, you were with us at Season 1, as I recall, so welcome back.
Thank you.
Dr. Morton is an associate professor and, more importantly, the dean of our Pearl C. Schaefer School of Education. Dr. Morton has 20-plus years of experience as a teacher and school administrator in K-12 education. And also, your husband has been a teacher for 30 years. So a lot of experience there.
Yeah.
Today, we're going to discuss a topic that impacts many of our listeners, and that is, how should Christian parents think about K-12 education? Mm-hmm. Now, before I go on, I've mentioned a few of your qualifications, and they're really good qualifications, but there's one more qualification I think maybe trumps them all, mm-hmm. and that is, you are a mom.
I am.
And you and your husband have walked this road. You have answered these questions and wrestled with these issues that all Christian parents wrestle with regard to their children's education. Specifically today, we're talking about K-12 education. So if you're listening and you've got children or grandchildren or are thinking about having children, this is something you're really going to want to pay attention to. This is going to be great. So let's just jump right in.
Sure.
Let's frame the issue. What are some of the challenges that Christian parents face when making these decisions about how to educate their children?
First, I think understanding all of their options, because there are so many these days, and the implications of those options, which can vary from option to option or from family to family, and to really spend time to tease all those out sometimes is overwhelming. And then second is making sure that they get reliable information. What do you believe, what not to believe? Of course, the internet can give you good information. It can also give you unreliable information, so there's that. And then actually having a clear purpose for your child's education, understanding some basic principles about what is this for. I think all of those combined make it a very challenging time for Christian parents right now to try to figure out the road ahead.
And these decisions, obviously huge for us parents, mm-hmm. Why do they matter so much to God?
Well, clearly parents are responsible for the care and feeding of their children, but they're responsible for raising them and training them. And clearly, education is a key component of that training. So that's why it matters to God, because we are trying to build a human being.
There are a lot of choices parents have now. And that's a good thing, but it's also a challenging thing. What are some of those main options that parents do have?
How many hours do we have? I could list. I wrote some of these down because I didn't want to forget any. So let's just start with sort of major categories. Okay. First of all, we have a public school option. And, you know, what we might think about that, let's put that aside for now. There might even be within that public school option, several options within that broad category. There could be a traditional public school, which would be the neighborhood school down the street under the governing authority of a school district and their elected school board. And so that's one sort of version of a public school. The district could have a magnet school program that you might be interested in. That would be a school within the district with a special focus, like the arts. Down the street from my house is a middle school that has a computer science focus under the district. The Los Angeles Unified School District has a zoology magnet school that actually meets at the LA Zoo. So that's, magnet school or some kind of special focus school. And then there might be alternative programs within the district that meet at different school sites, like an arts focus, the International Baccalaureate program, an online academy, or now, even more importantly, a dual immersion language focus that might be a special program run within a school. So those are all sort of public school options that are out there. Could be an on-ground public school, could be an online public school now. And then we turn our attention to the charter school, which would be an independent public school, not under the auspices of a school district, but with its own governing board and its own authority that way. And those often have special focus to them, like arts or careers or maybe a certain methodology.
Okay.
And those are public schools as well, but they're not under the school district control. So those are independent public schools. And then, of course, you have a private school option, and those come in all kinds of flavors as well.
Sure.
There could be a Catholic school system. It's pretty well developed in this country. Episcopals have their own school system. There are Christian private schools, of course, which come in different auspices, an independent Christian school, a church-sponsored ministry Christian school. All of those are particular options. The Christian school could have a different methodology. The classical Christian school movement is growing with classical education. And then you could have a secular private school, which could be its own focus as well. That could be something like the French language school that would be designed to, you know, make bilingual children in French, or other kinds of, you know, different focus that the school might have in terms of a method like the Montessori method, mm-hmm. or some kind of college prep, depending on what the vision of the founders of the school was. And again, those could come in different formats as well, on ground, online, even a boarding school.
Wow. Okay.
And then, of course, there's homeschooling options right. as well. And there's a plethora of that out there as well. That could just means the parents are going to take on the role of teacher, and they can get a program with more or less support depending on what they need. So it could be run by one of the aforementioned school. There are now public homeschooling options through the local public school district or a charter school. Those could be on ground or online. Clearly, Christian schools, some of them have homeschooling options as well. Or there's sort of the independent homeschooling co-op, which is right. more volunteer run, or a parent could choose to sort of be independent and go it alone and do all of the homeschooling on their own. So that is just a brief overview of
that's all,
just all
that?
Of the options that we have these days, which
wow.
is about a million different permutations there. So no wonder it's overwhelming to yeah. start thinking about this.
Absolutely. And then you factor in where do you live and what's the district like where mm-hmm. you live and what mm-hmm. are the where you are. So with all of that and so much more, I'm sure mm-hmm. that if we dove into each individual permutation, as you yeah. said, do you get a sense of a direction that you see parents kind of leaning or trending, or is it kind of as it goes?
Certainly, I would say in the past few years, homeschooling has been on the rise and it's been very popular, I think, because the options are there, because there's more support there, because it's been well-developed, that I think that's certainly on the rise. I think that what I've seen, many parents are choosing what I would call a multiple option approach, mm-hmm. and it depends, depending on the year, depending on the circumstance, depending on their child. Most parents are choosing maybe to do one or two or three different combinations, and they may change over time as the child grows, which, you know, can be a good option for parents to say, I'm going to make decisions as they come or as my child grows or at certain key points, like after elementary school or after middle school. And it also, of course, depends on circumstance.
Right.
So I think parents are more open to having different options throughout their child's K-12 career.
Okay, so now I'm gonna strike at a fear that perhaps our viewers or listeners feel, and that is, am I doing it the right way, right? Mm-hmm. And so let me ask you: is there a way in which maybe Christian parents might be approaching it the wrong way, thinking incorrectly about
well,
this whole issue?
Sure, I think it's funny that you use the word fear, because I think a lot of times that's leading the decision. Mm-hmm. And I think that's unfortunate that parents are so fearful, either fearful that they're going to make the wrong decision or fearful of what's out there or fearful for whatever reason. And I understand. I mean, I'm a mom. I understand the concern. But to make a decision based on fear, I think is problematic.
Yeah.
First of all, I don't think that's very biblical. We're not meant to live in fear. We're not meant to do that. So making a decision based from that or stemming from a fear, that's a serious concern. Or incomplete information, not having all the facts before you make a decision, that's also unfortunate, I think. Look, we want to do what's right for our children. We want to do what's in the best interest. And so not basing our decisions on fear and not making hasty decisions based on incomplete information, I think those are two areas where we can stumble a little bit.
Are there, and I know there are, so let me rephrase this. Mm-hmm. What are some of the guiding biblical principles that you would espouse to help parents make these types of decisions?
Sure. So you're going to want to start out with a clear understanding of what the purpose of an education is. I'm going to give a shameless plug for my video series.
Do it.
From the Center for Thinking Biblically here at TMU. I did a series on what that looks like. But first of all, what is the purpose of your child's education? And I think where it's easy to get caught up in what the world thinks it should be. And the world is going to say you need an education to make a lot of money, or you need a good education to get ahead. That's very American of us.
Yeah.
But the biblical approach is really training the child up in the way they should go. And that means equipping them to be fit for service to God and His kingdom. What does that look like? How does that factor into your decisions? I mean, that should be the top biblical consideration for your child's education, I think.
So practically speaking, what factors should parents consider in this decision? You know, like specifically like proximity or the price or, you
Lots.
Know, the reputation of the school, you know, that's
all of the above. I mean, I'm going to list a few.
Okay.
First is cost. Clearly, you have to make some sound financial decisions because you are stewarding the resources God has given you. Curriculum, the extracurriculars, the history or the track record of the school or the program or the co-op, the location, mission, the size, the quality of teaching or teachers. And I don't know if you've noticed, but I just alphabetized all those. So there you go.
Once a teacher, always a teacher,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. So that was more or less unintentional,
that's
but
fantastic.
That's how I think. But a lot of factors do come into play. And you have to make those decisions as a parent for yourself in terms of weighing those out. Mm. What is more important? Is it more important to drive 45 minutes to the school in the morning? Or is it less important to do that if it's going to affect the rest of my children and my family life? I mean, all of those kinds of things you have to weigh out for yourself, depending on what you think is in the best interest of your child. And some of that's going to take the rest of the family into consideration, of course.
Right.
So there's a lot, there's just a lot to consider and a lot to think about.
And I know it's not static. So in what ways do these factors and considerations change in ranking and importance as the child grows from kindergartner to senior in high school?
So as your child grows, of course, you're going to know them better. That what's going to happen is you're going to get to know their strengths and their weaknesses and their talents and a lot of things about them. And so you're going to be able to then sort of focus in on what they need at different levels or different years of their child's education and then see what is going to be the best option at that moment for them. You might think about like elementary school as sort of a stage, and then middle school is a stage, and then high school is a stage. And there might be some checkpoints along there where you could literally just check in and say, are we still on the right place here? Are we still going strong? Is this still the best option?
So how involved can and should a parent be in their child's education? Is there, I mean, it's a broad question.
Is
there a limit or not, you know, with this? Because as you said, this is our mandate.
I think parents should be highly involved in their children's education, no matter what option they're choosing. They need to know exactly what their child is learning, exactly how well their child is doing at the learning of that, exactly what's happening. They need to be very involved. And that means they need to be seekers of information. So they need to figure out ways to keep in contact with whoever is involved in the schooling of their children, teachers, co-op leaders, whatever is going on. And sometimes that means looking at themselves too, because if they're the primary responsible person, they need to be able to figure out what's going on with that. So I highly recommend parents be very involved in their children's education, of course.
Now the other side of this equation are the children themselves. And you and I know that when they're little, it's often easy to get information from them, and they come home from school and they'll tell you everything. As they get older, it becomes, hey, so how was your day?
Fine.
And then the door shuts, you know, or whatever. You know, it was great. And you get these 1-2-word answers. Mm-hmm. But we want this information. We need to get this information from our children to really try to understand, right, how is it going for you?
Yep.
For parents who are watching or listening, what are some questions that they can ask to help elicit this conversation?
So the first thing I always try to say is, rather than just say, how did it go? How was school today? You're going to get fine. It was fine. Everything's fine. I'm fine. Or it wasn't, or you might not get much. But if you ask the question in terms of, what did you learn today? What did you learn in school today? I think you might get more out of the conversation that way. And then, of course, start having those conversations early. Don't wait until they get to be in high school to start having those conversations. Start that as soon as they come to you from wherever they're going, school, the co-op, homeschooling situation, soccer practice, mm-hmm. Boy Scouts. What did you learn today? You know, start talking about it in those terms, and I think they'll be able to share more about what is really happening there. And then I always also let the child ask me questions too. What questions do you have about what's happening in school today? What questions did you want to ask about the topics or about the situation or something like that? Allow space for the child to ask you questions as well. And that's an actual conversation.
So when a parent is looking at schools, mm-hmm. or co-ops or, you, I mean, all those things you talked about, right? It's so overwhelming.
Yep.
What are some questions they can ask, you know, whether they're talking to a teacher, a school administrator, a program mm-hmm. coordinator? You know, I know that we all want to be prepared, you know, and get this information, but we got to ask the right questions. What sure. questions should they be thinking to ask when they get in these situations?
The first thing I say is ask about the purpose and the mission and the history of the school or the program. What is it for? What do they say their school is about? What do they say their purpose or mission is? What do they say? And evaluate based on that. You can talk to the teacher. You can talk to the leader of the program. You can just get the information from the website. I would suggest you do all three.
Okay.
And figure out what is the purpose of this? What is behind it? Who are the people that will be interacting with your child? Who are the teachers? Who is the principal? Who are the leaders of the program? Who are they? And get to know them and start asking, how did they get there? Why do they like to work there? Mm-hmm. Why are they involved in the program? That you can talk to their parents as well. That would be my recommendation too. And then think about the actual curriculum or the program of study, especially if it's new or to you or it's unfamiliar to you. You're going to want to do some research about what is this curriculum? What are the courses? What is the approach? What is the methodology? And try to find out what that is. So at least you have some sense of how to sort of evaluate what's happening in this program or that school versus another program or another school.
I love that you said first, find out what they say about themselves, mm-hmm. because that's at least the target they're setting for themselves, right?
Yep.
And then I guess figure out how well are they hitting that target.
Yeah,
absolutely. If the target's the wrong target, then you don't want to be
well,
there.
And that sometimes is easy to tell just based on an initial conversation or reading of the mission of the school or the program. If that's something that you can't get behind, then, you know, that might be some place to even start right there to say, maybe this is not for me. Or if it is something that you feel passionate about or you feel like is very vital for your child, then that would be something you could say, oh, I need to really focus in on this one or that one because of that.
And then maybe talk to other parents.
Absolutely.
You can find them.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. If you can, you know, find some parents that have experienced firsthand that program or that school, that would be an excellent way to get information about what's really like on the ground.
So. And that can be tough though too, because I remember, you know, it depends. You might talk to a parent who's having a bad day or just had one bad experience and,
sure.
and it's an outlier. But if that's the only one you talk to, like
right.
that's it, right?
Well, and that's why it's important to get multiple sources of information and not just base your decision on one point, which could be one parent or one school or one visit or one piece of information.
And then as our kids get older, mm-hmm. You know, when they're little, they're going where we put them, you know, but as they get older, those questions and those conversations we have get deeper. And what role should they mm-hmm. play in these decisions for themselves as they grow?
Sure. First of all, it's important to remember that education is not something you can do to a child. I can't learn you.
Huh.
I can't do
True.
That. So the child has to be obviously an active participant in their education. And again, when they're small, that's easier to maybe manage or set up or control. And when they get older, it's going to be important for them to understand your thinking as a parent. So I would say start the conversation early about what their preferences are. What do they think? What do they And what do they base that on? Why is what I ask. Why do you prefer this? Why do you not like that? Why is this attractive to you? Why do you want to do this or study that or play this sport or play that instrument? Or, you know, what is it about that that's appealing to you or not appealing to you? And get to the root of what's really happening on the inside of your child, because that's going to be important. It is important for children to understand your thinking as a parent as much as it is important for you as a parent to understand the thinking of your children. So it needs to be conversational. You as a parent are ultimately responsible for them. Right. But I never want it to be an adversarial conversation. It just doesn't work very well to go through that.
Yes, adversarial. It only became adversarial for me and my parents when I didn't do well.
Sure.
It was very one-sided. I was grounded.
I
remember being in college, actually, and my sophomore year, calling my dad on a payphone because I
what is this payphone of which
right,
you speak?
Right, yeah. For anyone who was born before 1980.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There were phones where you put actual coins in and you got a certain amount of minutes to talk depending on how close or how far they were. And for me, it was about 300 miles. So I brought a lot of change and I thought it would be a long conversation because I wanted to change my major as a sophomore in college. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I needed to have that conversation with my mom and dad because A, they were paying for my education and that was the setup that we had mm-hmm. arranged. You know, they were involved and it didn't even change after high school. I had a whole list of things prepared and in the end, my dad, anyway, it's a long story, but in the end, he let me change my major.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way. But all right, so deal breakers. Mm. What are the deal breakers here when you're looking at a school or your child's in a school? Either a deal breaker to say, I'm not going to put my son or daughter there, or the other deal breaker, which is maybe it's time to pull them out.
Yeah.
What might some of those be?
I think some of those are going to vary depending on the circumstance and the situation, and certainly depending on the child. If the child is not learning, that's a huge red flag. And maybe we need to start with a red flag before we get to a deal breaker.
Okay.
What's a red flag that's going to be raised in terms of if it's not working? If the child's not learning, that's a huge red flag for me. Something needs to change. Is there a social factor at play? Maybe something's not working there. That's another red flag. You might be concerned about the curriculum that they're being taught or the values. And then we go back to the mission and purpose of the school again. Maybe that's out of alignment with your biblical perspective or your own desire. So there could be red flags that would lead to deal breakers. But in any case, if there are red flags, you do want to get to the bottom of that. I do recommend that parents find these things out. Find out more information before you pull the plug or before you plop the child into any new situation. You need to find out all of the information about what's really going on there.
Okay, so this is not a trick question, right? but how much of a role does the parent's own experience with education as a student, we've all been students at some point, how much of a role does that play in the way they think about education and how they think about their child's education?
It can play a role. And that's something I always try to caution parents to not let their own experience color what they're thinking of in terms of their child's experience, because it's going to be different. It can be vastly different. You might have had a wonderful schooling experience and the school brings up pleasant memories. But if it's not that way for your child, then you have to figure that out and maybe separate yourself a little bit from that. Or vice versa. Maybe you struggled yourself in school, and so you bring that to the table when you're trying to make a decision. But you don't want to put that onto your child's experience. So you really just kind of have to take a step back of your own experience and really see it through the lens of what's going to be in the best interest of my child.
Is it ever too early? Can you start thinking about these questions and asking these questions about your child's education too soon? When should young adults or parents or married couples start having these conversations about where are we going to send our
children? The short answer is no, it's not too early. One of my responsibilities as a church-sponsored Christian school administrator was to represent the school at a school fair local school fair for private schools. It was essentially like a community event that would assist parents in choosing a private school for their children. Most of the people who came were looking to place their children in kindergarten. They were just starting. But I do recall a couple of moms-to-be coming who were still pregnant at the time and making these decisions out ahead of time. So I don't think it's ever too early to have that conversation. But you do need to know your child, and that might mean actually having the child before you can actually make a decision. Sure, yeah. So you need to get information and conversations going, of course. It's never too early to start talking about that. But each child is going to be unique, and what might work for one of your children may not be the best interest for the second or third child. So you're going to need to have a lot of information and just be prepared to be flexible. That's the only thing I can say.
I know there are probably some parents who are watching or listening, and maybe something didn't go well at some point along the way, or something's not going well right now in their child's education, and you know they may be beating themselves up. We messed up. We made the wrong choice. Can you offer some encouragement to those parents?
Yes, I can. It's not too late to get back on the right track, and please don't beat yourself up. Children don't come with a manual. Yes, we have the Bible. Yes, we have some scriptural principles, but each child is unique. And, you know, as a parent myself, I know there are times when I'm thinking, what am I doing here? Mm-hmm. How is this going to go? And I think part of it is we're not meant to know all of the answers. If we did, we would not need God. We would not need a savior. We would not need redemption. So please give yourself a break and just say, I'm going to do the right thing for my child today. And if I didn't do it perfectly today, that's why there's tomorrow. So it's okay. And if you need to shift and take a step back and regroup and go in a different direction, you can do that. We have so many options these days, especially with regard to education, that if it's not working, it's okay to say, okay, maybe we need to make a change or maybe we need to make a shift.
So first off, I'm so glad you said that. Mm-hmm. Our children are resilient, and God is good and gracious in these things. What resources would you recommend for parents who are either trying to make this decision or maybe remaking this decision, or you know, where can they go?
There's so much out there that it's almost hard to pin it down. But let me give you a couple of options. If you even start with Googling choosing a school for your child, you're going to come up with a lot of different opinions on how to look and what to look. So you have to sort through some of that. Everyone online is going to have a list of factors to consider, and some of them are coming in the form of a checklist of questions. Mm-hmm. That might be some place to look. Everything from U.S. News and World Report has this. Reading Rockets, which is a sort of literacy website. There's even stuff out there on things like Reddit where you can literally get a checklist of factors. Just go look at that and see if that even makes sense to you. Start with that. There's even a site out there called Money Geek. I'm not pushing them for any particular reason except for they have a pretty good webpage called The Pros and Cons of Public, Private, and Homeschooling. So it's a nice, concise, encapsulated way to look at that. These are all secular websites, so you have to take that with a grain of salt. And there's a website called School Choice Week, which also is a secular website but has some information about options for parents, which is a place to start at least. Okay. If you're looking for a Christian school because you've decided that that's an option for you, you can look at different associations of Christian schools website. There's the Association of Christian Schools International. There's the Association of Classical Christian Schools. They have find a school options there that you can at least get started to see what's in your area. Okay. And the same goes through for homeschooling co-ops. Again, you can kind of look and see what's out there, what's nearby, and then at least get started down that road. So there's lots of ways to get information. Whatever you do, I always recommend to parents that they go in person and meet the people before they make a decision. It's just so important to see it for yourself on the ground. Go tour the school. Go meet the co-op leader. Go, you know, discuss with parents if you can. Mm-hmm. Often schools or programs will have some kind of open house where they're, you know, starting that kind of thing. Attend that. Mm-hmm. See as much as you can on the ground to see what it's really like. And talk to parents and students to see what their experience has been.
We were talking before we started recording and just about a lot of stuff. we've worked together for years, and it's always fun to chat. You had mentioned, you know, we have about a third of our students here at Masters are homeschool, and a third are public school, a third are private school, and then within that, we have this classical education. There's a lot of things you mentioned. All that to say, they all work.
Yes.
You know, and there's, I can't group, and I know you can't either, one over another here on campus. We have excellent students that come from all of these areas.
Yeah, I think the tendency to say like one size fits all is not true. Each has its strengths and weaknesses, and each child has their own strengths and weaknesses, and it's a match that you're looking for. You're looking for a match between what the program or the school has to offer and your own child's strengths and needs. And I think more commonly, you're going to find that even within those major categories of homeschool, private school, or public school, more crossover, more multiple options. More students come to my classes now that have had a plethora of experiences. They've been homeschooled some. They've gone to private school for a couple years, public school some. It's been a variety of options. And that shows me that parents are really invested in making the right choices at the right time.
I love what you said. I'm going to use that.
Sure.
It's not a one size fit all fits all. You're not looking for the answer. You're looking for a match for your child, and it may be a different match for if you have two children or three. Different match for each one.
Exactly.
Probably most definitely will be. That's fantastic. I love that. If you got nothing else, look for a match. That was so good.
It needs to be a match. It really does, because otherwise you're trying to put that square peg in a round hole. Round peg in a square hole, whichever the way the metaphor goes. You don't want that. And you're looking for what's going to actually help your child develop their gifts, their talents that they've been given by God. And you want to equip them to be of service to God and His kingdom, which is the purpose of all this. Then you're going to want to find something that's going to work well for your child and do that instead of trying to fight against whatever is going on.
And don't forget to ask the Lord. He will help you.
Oh, that goes without saying.
I mean, every parent spends half their time on their knees praying anyway.
If you are not praying, you are not doing it right. That's all I can say there. You have to pray about this. And you need to pray as a family. You need to pray certainly to figure out what is in the best interest of your child to equip them the right way. You've got to pray for that.
Dr. Morton, thank you again for joining me. We're going to do this another time. I hope you don't mind because I could talk about this stuff all day. I love it. This is our passion, obviously. And I hope that our viewers and listeners were blessed as much as I was, at least. And so, again, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's my pleasure.
Thanks for joining us for The Art of Discernment, a podcast of the Masters University. You can learn more about the university at masters.edu. Be sure to subscribe to The Art of Discernment wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you're watching us on YouTube, subscribe to our channel. If you know someone who would benefit from today's show, we encourage you to share it with them. We'll see you next time.